Welcome to the Remote First Podcast. Every week we invite guests from large or innovative companies to share their insights on enabling an equitable and distributed workplace experience. I'm your host, Daphne Laforêt. Hey all, today I am with Camilla Boyer, Head of Internal Communications and Culture at Hopin. If you don't know this unicorn yet, Hopin is an all-in-one events management solution. While recently founded in 2019, Hopin has always been fully remote. In 2021, the team quadrupled its size to reaching now almost 1,000 employees. To do so, they put together a team dedicated to support this growth in a fully remote setup, which Camilla is part of. Camilla has also worked as a freelance executive speaker coach to help tech leaders communicate effectively and motivate their team across the world. Welcome, Camilla.
Hi, thanks so much for having me. It's great to be here.
I am so excited to have you, Camilla. I am so pumped to have you because you've been part of what it was to set the foundation at Hopin. And the fact that Hopin was founded, in 2019, just 2 years ago, grew very, very fast recently and entirely remotely. So how has it been?
So it has been a roller coaster ride for sure. So I'll just give you a little bit of background on Hopin for those who are not familiar. So we were created in 2019, fall of 2019 is when we first appeared. We were founded by Johnny Bufarhat, who is our CEO. And he created Hopin. Actually, it was a very interesting story. So Johnny suffered an illness that basically prevented him from going outside of his house for 2 years. He was completely housebound. And he really relied on going to conferences. He was a freelance developer at the time. So he really relied on going to conferences to find new projects and new work. And it was through that experience that he realized that in the absence of being able to physically go somewhere, he was basically completely handicapped when it came to those opportunities and experiences. And he decided to build something that would allow you to participate in those sorts of moments, even if you didn't have the luxury of being able to travel somewhere or having the time and resources to do that kind of thing. So he built Hopin. And obviously, 6 months after that, in early 2020, we were hit by a global pandemic that locked all of us inside our houses for a long period of time. And so we all experienced that isolation and that disconnection from those physical moments that Johnny had become so familiar with. And suddenly Hopin's appeal was widely evident to so many people out there. So that's our founding story. Since 2019, it really has been a rocket ship of a ride. We've raised three funding rounds totaling about $1 billion, I think. And for my part, I joined the first week of January of this year, and we were 250 people. And now we're closing in on, not quite there, but closing in on 1,000 employees in just my 10-month tenure.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's been pretty wild.
So how has it been to see that company grow in the past year from almost four times the amount of people that when you got there while being in charge of, the foundation work of what it is to run a remote company?
So it's been really interesting. I think I very much feel like I've seen in 10 months what a lot of people see in 3 years at a company. It has been sort of that rapid a pace of evolution. But it's also been really interesting to see how we as a company have tried to be deliberate about laying the foundations to help support that speed of growth. We've known it's happening. It didn't catch us off guard. It's been interesting to try to tackle that problem of how do you be deliberate and build things in a way that is sustainable and scalable in the face of growth like that.
So is there things that you could share about, different experience that you had that you think are quite different in the very high growth phase of the company when it comes to remote work?
Yeah, so definitely. And I think also I was going to say laid on top of that, we've done all of this in a fully remote environment. So so that's the most interesting part of this, right? And so from my world, we definitely have tried to be really intentional about creating foundations for culture and remote work that allow us to grow our workforce globally and exponentially in a way that is sustainable. So one of those ways is I sit on a team called the Vibe Team, which reports to the CEO's chief of staff. And our job is really to build culture and internal communications and remote work infrastructure that helps us support our workforce around the world. And it's really cool because the fact that this team just exists, I think, is pretty unique. You know, lots of companies have an internal comms person, or maybe they have a head of remote or something like that. That's all really important. Those are important steps in themselves. But we have a team of people built out for to do this work specifically. And we have myself, head of internal comms and culture, and my team. We report to the chief of staff. We have an events person. And we are considering a head of remote role as well. So it's quite a unique makeup of roles that sit under that one roof.
What kind of challenge you had to go through in the past related to the Vibe team that you've seen happening because of the amount of people that you were at the company, how it was growing? What was the most difficult part?
So I think the most difficult thing is just by nature of being remote, you have a little bit less insight into what everybody's doing and how everybody's feeling on a daily basis. Mm. And what that means is you have to be a lot more intentional about how you are gathering that information and listening to the different people, different parts of the organization. And now I've worked at big tech companies in physical environments. My first job was at Twitter, which is, you know, one of the tech companies that had 3 free meals a day in the office. And I would work out in the office and I could have my whole life in the office if I wanted. And it was very easy to get the vibe of what was going on around me just by chatting to people that I passed in the hallway or sat with at lunch. And we obviously don't have that. You know, we have all the benefits that come with being fully remote, but that's something that we have to really kind of try to overcompensate for. So there's a couple things I would point to specifically. One is thinking about how your culture is evolving and trying to keep a finger on the pulse of how different teams are thinking and feeling and how the culture maybe is evolving in different corners of the business. And the other piece is to do with remote work. You know, how are people managing their schedules? How are they getting their work done? What do their workflows look like? And how can we streamline those processes to make it as easy as possible for our fully remote, fully global team to collaborate across countries and time zones?
Mm. So much work to do there. Like, it's crazy
so
how
much.
You need to redesign the right system to be able to sustain a kind of like fully remote company when people are not in the same pulse in real time in an office. But at the same time, It's like if this company is like Hopin or GitLab or other companies are fully remote, you really have to design all the pillars to make it work. Mm-hmm. And then at some point, somebody told me that recently shared with me an article how remote first companies are like a greenhouse that is like all organized and very like well thought compared to like an office, which is a bit more like a wild garden. And I really love that analogy. I'll have to find the person who said that, share that to me and put it in the show notes because it was really interesting to hear that kind of analogy. So in these kind of setup where you think, okay, we need a system that will make it work for our team, can you share a bit more of like specifics there? Like, how does the system look like at Hopin?
Yeah, definitely. So let me also preface by saying we don't have it all figured out. This is very much a work in progress. And I try to pay a lot of attention to what other remote companies are doing to try to pick up tips and that sort of thing and design a system that works for us based on, you know, the nuances and uniqueness of our own company as well. There's a ton of work to do. And I think everyone in the remote space is really at the cutting edge of how the working world is evolving and how we're transforming how people do work and manage their careers and their lives across the world. So it's a super exciting place to be. But it's a team effort, basically. Everyone in this space is kind of learning from each other and trying to evolve together, I think. So I'll just preface by saying that. So when it comes to what it specifically looks like, do you mean like our workflows, like our remote work processes? Yeah. Okay. So our remote work processes are interesting because we have to manage every time zone. So that means we try not to be overly dependent on synchronous meetings and meaning that we're not holding up business decisions based on, okay, we have to be in this meeting in the same time zone, everyone awake on this call, because it's actually pretty hard to do that when you have people spread across the West Coast and the East Coast and Asia Pacific and all that sort of different things. So we are trying to move to a world that is more focused on documentation, on getting people to write things down and share those processes out. So we introduced two tools recently that have proven to be very useful. One is called Guru, which is like an internal wiki. And the other one is called GoLinks, which basically is like a URL shortener that allows you to share anything that has a URL. So a Google Doc or a website or a landing page with a shorter link. So those have been really useful because they make it a lot easier for people to share information with each other instead of having to share, like, you know, long links or making people go through lengthy search processes with platforms that don't have great search functionality. So I think one of the things, just from a more logistical standpoint, is looking at what the tools are out there, understanding what the needs of your business are, and trying to pick the ones that solve specifically for those problems.
Awesome. It's interesting because I've never heard about Guru or GoLinks. So it's really nice to hear new ones, because I always hear the kind of, you know, tools that everybody are using in the remote workspace. So that's interesting.
Yeah, I think there are definitely common tools that a lot of different companies use, and a lot of them are very good. But I think we've tried to be intentional about picking tools that will allow us to scale, because I've also worked at bigger companies where we've had to rip out infrastructure and put new things in when a company's larger, and that is pretty painful. So we've tried to get ahead of that and do that work now.
That's awesome. Is there any other things related to that? Like, for example, I don't know, most people are using, you said, asynchronous communication, for example, and not working with time zone. So like, what kind of tools or systems are you choosing when you want something that scales?
Yeah. Well, so we rely very heavily on Slack. I would say Slack is our office. I think a lot of companies, especially remote ones, would say that these days. And Slack is basically a synchronous communication tool. You know, it's better to use when other people are also online.
But synchronous, like it's not async, it's asynchronous. Yeah, I totally agree with that one.
Yeah, it's better for synchronous communication because it's actually kind of hard to track information that is shared in Slack. Mm-hmm. So one thing we've had to try to learn, and again, like I said, we do not have it all figured out, but something we're working on is that process of, okay, when you make a decision in Slack or you share a piece of information with someone in Slack that maybe would be useful to someone else, getting people to build that muscle of, okay, I should probably put this piece of information somewhere else so that other people can find it. And what that looks like for us right now is taking that information and putting it in Guru, because Guru syncs very seamlessly with Slack so that you can search from within Slack. It also has plugins across a lot of different websites that we're using, like Salesforce and Zendesk and Lattice and that sort of thing. So it allows you to surface that information kind of wherever you go. But getting people to change their habits is the hardest thing about my job is, you know, we come up with good ideas and we come up with what we think are good ideas, ways of helping people share information more broadly. And then actually retraining people to do it that way is the biggest challenge for sure.
And you're retraining over 500, 700 people at the same time on their way of working is definitely a massive challenge.
Yeah, exactly.
It must have been quite difficult to do that on your side. Just thinking about how Guru works, or, you know, how I've seen other system work, you know, internally for communication. Do you think, so is there a way for people, for example, once they published information, I don't know, on Guru or the tool that you're using for posting something that's a bit more permanent, is there a way to have another conversation, for example, through that wiki page, for example, like maybe a discussion would be a bit more long form instead of being a back and forth on Slack? Is it how it looks?
Sort of. So you can comment in Guru. So you can comment on any, it's called a card, is like the page where information lives. So you can have, you know, a conversation there if you want. We also encourage people to use Google Docs for collaborative work. So obviously, lots of companies are familiar with Google Docs, but we find that really useful for working together on different projects and having those conversations there.
Yeah, I'm actually looking up Guru to try to find it, because I will definitely add it to the show notes so people can go have a look at it. So that'd be like free promotion for them. Good on you, Guru.
You're welcome, Guru. Yeah.
We have one happy customer here. That's awesome. So, and if we think a bit more about like the pillars of internal communication, like to you, you're like some the head of internal communication. This is really like your forte. You've been an executive coach as well for speaking as well and communicating better. So for you in a remote environment, like what is the most important in terms of internal communications as like the pillars of it?
Yeah, so that's a great question. The biggest difference between working in internal communications in a physical world versus a fully remote world is intentionality. And you have to over communicate. And I'm also a marketer by trade. I was a product marketer at Salesforce, and I've been a head of marketing for a startup as well. And one of my favorite rules for marketing is that you have to say something 7 times before people remember it. And this is a big rule that I apply to internal communications when I'm helping executives come up with their strategies and relay those strategies to their teams. Is they might think that it's enough to hold one all hands and say something 1 time, but there's, and then they get frustrated because they get feedback from their teams. Hey, I still don't understand the strategy. I don't know what's going on. And that's because it's not enough to say it just 1 time. So this is something I try to get people to understand all the time is we actually have to come up with a campaign. We have to come up with a pattern of, you know, how and when we're going to say these things. You can say them to different audiences at different times in slightly different ways, but the fundamental message has to be the same because it needs to become muscle memory to people. It needs to become something that they can say in their sleep if you want them to really remember it. So I apply that to our strategy and also to our culture and our values and the way that we're talking about those things. So that's one piece that I think is super important. The other sort of pillars of internal communication are transparency. When you're building culture remotely, it's so important to help your leaders be as transparent as possible in order to build trust with their teams. Because we don't, like I mentioned, we don't have that luxury of turning to each other next to our at our desks and saying, hey, you know, what did you think of this thing or whatever it is. And so we need to build trust by creating spaces and moments for our teams to connect with our leaders and to see them being honest and transparent. So we do Q&As and we give different opportunities like that for them to actually interact with our executives one-on-one.
I was about to ask about this actually before you said the last one. How does transparency look like at Hopin? And you said Q&A. So if you can just say a bit more details there, that would be really cool.
Yeah, definitely. So transparency is the most important thing. I think, first of all, it's about having someone in your organization who is dedicated to helping executives be transparent, because there's two things about being a great leader, in my opinion. One is being a great tactician, being the person who can come up with a strategy and know how to make the right decisions. And the second thing is being a good motivator and being able to really communicate with your teams in a way that builds trust, helps them believe in you, inspires and motivates them every day. So you need to have somebody who's helping executives build out that second part about being a good motivator. And giving them, creating the forums for them to do that too. So one of them is company-wide Q&As. So, you know, we make sure that we're doing company-wide Q&As with our CEO and our executive teams. And we try to do them as unmoderated as possible and just let people ask the questions that they really want to ask. We also have a couple of other different ways that we're kind of trying to foster that we're workshopping right now. So we're thinking about doing lunches with our executives from time to time, letting people kind of sign up for that. We're thinking about having a suggestion box or a question forum that's kind of open on Slack all the time that people could just kind of drop questions in there. So there's lots of different ways that you can kind of think about it and come up with it. But the most important thing is that it's coming across as authentic, because the more manicured and curated it is, the less believable it is. And that kind of undermines the whole point.
And do you think also that, or is it possible that at Hopin you are acting a bit like an open source company where maybe conversation happen in the open, or is it the way it works? Is it possible to work that way at Hopin where maybe your conversation in Slack are in open channels, there's like less private DMs and private channels and, you know, kind of things that are another layer which reduce the transparency of the company? Is it how it works at Hopin?
Yeah. So Definitely. We default to open as much as we can. And I think that's a cultural thing as much as it is a communications thing. But that's about, do you have a culture of trust such that you don't feel the need to put up those walls and hide things? So our channels do default to open. Obviously, there are private channels if there's, you know, projects and things like that that we don't want everyone in the company to be knowing about before they're ready, which is totally fine. But we do try to be intentional about defaulting to open that way. And we also have a way of sharing out what's talked about at the executive level on a kind of a regular basis. And that's something that we're looking to do more of as well, just to give, you know, anyone who's curious, you know, we're not going to force anyone to read any of this content, but we do believe that that content should be there for those that are curious and those that are interested.
Hey there, just taking a few seconds to mention our sponsor, Remotiv.io, who is an awesome supporter for this podcast. Since 2014, Remotiv is helping top distributed companies hire remote workers. Going remote has opened your company to the world, so going Remotiv will channel your jobs to the best talents out there. And you as a, you know, executive coach, expert, you know, as well, and a communication expert and everything, you are also a storyteller. Can you share a bit more, like, why storytelling is important in the remote world?
So I think storytelling is important in every world. Storytelling is one of the things that differentiates humans from other animals, is the ability to follow a narrative arc and to tell a compelling story. And not just that, but the experience that you have in your brain when you hear a story, the emotional fluctuations that you go through, is what makes things memorable. So I bring everything back to story. And so an example of that is, I've worked very closely with our CEO to help him tell his personal story internally so that our team can get to know him on a little bit of a better level and understand where his motivations and his thought processes kind of come from. So that's one story that has kind of come to be a big part of our culture. We actually don't really talk about it or share it externally because it's just something that's special to us. But it's something that it's a way that story has really helped us connect and build culture. And then beyond that, I think about story with every presentation that we do. So there's a lot of different story frameworks that any storyteller will tell you about that are sort of the outlines for how a story can be told. A common one is like a problem solution setup. And so I try to tell our presenters at our all hands meetings and things like that about this setup, because it's a really great way of capturing an audience. So what that means is you start by saying, okay, what was the problem? What were we trying to solve? You create that moment of frustration. You make the audience feel that kind of moment of pain that comes with that problem. And then you say, okay, and here is the solution that we're working on, or here's how we solved it, here's how we tackled it. And that creates that moment of release, that moment of relief in your audience, that it is a chemical change in your brain and it makes things more memorable for people. So that's one of the simplest frameworks, but it's a way of basically just relating to how people are used to digesting information in a way that helps them remember work information.
Is this also how you are able to make people change their way of working, basically because you're saying to them, this is basically the problem that you're having, it's very difficult, this is how you can make it better by doing these new practices?
Well, that's exactly it. I mean, we say to people all the time, hey, you told us that this is your problem, we're just listening to you, this is what we hear from you about the problems that you're experiencing, and here's the solutions that we've come up with to try to solve them. But I think, you know, when you think about the role that story plays in your own life, you know, when's the last time that you talked to someone and you weren't telling a story, that you weren't telling your partner about a frustrating thing that happened to you at the grocery store this morning, or you weren't talking to a friend about an amazing thing? You know, we're constantly telling stories in our personal lives. So I don't understand why we would take the joy out of it or take that dynamic out of it when we're in a work environment. And it's actually, you know, an underutilized and very powerful tool.
That's super interesting. Do you have a specific solution, for example, in the Vibe team that you brought up, that was a specific story that happened and you needed to find a solution for it for making work better?
So one thing that we noticed just with our pace of growth at Hopin is that we were missing that moment of reset. Like our teams were running off like headless chickens. Everyone was just doing as much work as they could as fast as possible. And we were kind of out of sync. And so that was the problem that we saw on the Vibe team was that, okay, we're doing all these different things, but we're actually moving almost too fast. We're creating redundancy in some places where we just have multiple people working on the same projects from different angles because they're not communicating, or people don't know exactly how their work is connecting with the strategy. And that's making it frustrating because then they feel like actually they don't, their work doesn't have this sort of higher purpose thread connected to what we're trying to do as the company. And it was fine, but it also wasn't sustainable. And we could see that as we continue to grow, those cracks between the teams would continue to kind of get deeper. So we started to think, okay, how can we create a fun moment that would also be educational that could serve as a reset, a regular reset for our team? So we created this event that's called Main Stage. That is our quarterly business review and kickoff event that we hold in the first week of every quarter. So we bring the whole company together. We have a program that's about 3 hours long. And we do a strategy and inspiration session with our CEO. We do Q&A with executives. We have highlights from every different team around the company where they come up and, you know, in 2 minutes or less, talk about an amazing piece of work that they did that quarter. And we, maybe most importantly, we have our core values awards. So every quarter we recognize people from within the company who are really embodying our values the best based on the votes cast by all of their peers. So everyone within the company gets a chance to nominate the people that they think really embody those values the best. And we get amazing feedback on that show. People always tell us that they leave super motivated and inspired and kind of re-centered. So I think that really did help us kind of tackle that problem of keeping this amazing, fast-going company that's completely global and remote on the same page.
That's also, I'm sure you're using the Hopin platform to do that, right?
We are definitely using the Hopin platform to do that. I have to say, look, I know I'm biased, but I have to say, you know, people tell us all the time that our internal events, even our weekly all hands, is more like a TV show than it is like a meeting, just because we're able to make it so fun and engaging using Hopin. And I, you know, I really would struggle to do this job if it wasn't for Hopin, because it really does enable us to connect and interact remotely in those big events in a really unique way. So I'm grateful for it.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much, Camilla, for joining on the podcast. I will add all the links in the show notes for the people to go have a look at Hopin and everything you've been sharing today. You can also reach out to Camilla on LinkedIn. Thank you so much, Camilla.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been super fun.
Thank you for tuning in to Remote First. You can find all links and show notes in the episode description. And if you found value in this show, we'd love your rating on your listening app of choice. Thank you for being here. See you next time.